the Lamb, saved from sins I know I am. All my sins are taken away, taken away.
If you go
before I do, just look me up, I'll be there too. All my sins are taken away, taken away.
You can talk about me,
you can talk about me,
just all you please,
just all you please.
You can talk about me,
you can talk about me,
just all you please,
just all you please.
You can talk about me, just all you please. I'll pray for you down on my knees. All my sins are taken away, taken away.
I'm going down,
I'm going down
to the garden to pray.
To the garden to pray. I was so blessed, I stayed all day. All my sins are taken away, taken away.
I'm going home,
I'm going home
on the morning train,
on the morning train.
I'm going home,
I'm going home
on the morning train.
I'm going home on the morning train. Glory, glory to his name. All my sins are taken away,
taken away.
All my sins are taken away,
taken away.
Hallelujah. How many of you like lobster? I don't. I don't care for it too much. The celebrities are trying to start a movement where they'll quit, to force you to quit putting them into boiling water before you eat them, because they feel pain. In the meantime, they want to kill a baby out of the womb that has already been born. Interesting how things work these days. But according to Scripture, reckoning day is coming. These people will have to one day pay for their incredible insanity. It is insanity. We need to understand that we're fast heading down a track where God will finally have to say, enough is enough. Because sin has to be taken care of. It can't be allowed to explode all over the world. And for those of you who feel you're not holy enough, there's somebody who sent me an interesting email from South Dakota. Holiness is not the way to Christ. How many of you believe that? Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Quite a difference, eh? How many of you tried to be holy before you were born again? I tried it a few times, lasted 5 minutes. I've been there, done that. Doesn't lead to holiness at all. It leads to a conscience that becomes seared. Why do I say become seared? Because after a while, you don't care anymore. This doesn't work. But we have to make sure what we reap, we shall sow. The world system will reap what it sows. If they do not want God, they're going to get a place in a time where God is not going to be, and that's in the eternal lake of fire. The Bible teaches us the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever. The horrors that are going on are unbelievable. And when you watch what's going on all over the Middle East, you watch what's going on in Canada here, in the States, you can see already the cows are coming home to be milked, or the chickens are coming home to roost, right? Is that the way things are in the English language? If you're from the Middle East, you might not know what I'm talking about. But if you were raised and born here, you know that judgment is coming. What you reap, what you sow, you will definitely reap. So the question is today, will God chasten his children? Will he allow his children, oh, you're saved by grace, now you can do whatever you want? And I've heard some interesting messages on this. One guy was saying, well, God, there's people that say that God will break your arm if you don't behave, one way or another. No, God doesn't break your arm. He just backs off when you drive something and he allows Satan to cause the accident. That's all. You reap what you sow. If you do not watch yourself, if you don't judge yourself, eventually God will have to judge you. He will have to chasten you because we are his children. I was studying one of those messages, and this Christian lady, she became pregnant. She wasn't married, of course. And she figured, we got to cover up this sin. So she had an abortion. Yes, they took care of the problem. But for the rest of her life, regardless how often she asked for forgiveness, she knew that God had forgiven her. It was still eating at her heart how she had killed her baby. That's reaping the consequences of your actions. So next time you step into a foolish situation, think a little before you do it, because there's consequences. God is not going to come there and hit you over the head right away. He gives you so and so much grace. If you don't turn from it, then eventually you will lose. I have heard of a father who got into pornography, Christian family, couldn't let it go until it wrecked his complete family. Well, he had to reap what he sowed. So the question is, where do we stand in this? How are we walking with God? Today I'm going to teach on this out of Scripture, give you a few examples from the Old Testament, and you'll be surprised. God does keep track. He just doesn't forget. If you make the enemy to blaspheme, you will have to pay the consequences. So before we get into this, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that you are our God, and you remind us, O Heavenly Father, that you love us. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, before we get into explaining how God judges us, chastens us, or tries to keep us on the right track, I want to show you a little something for those who believe they're Christians, but in reality are not. They may have had an emotional experience once upon a time and thought they had become a Christian. I want to share something with you. If you accepted or believed in Jesus Christ and there has been no change in your life, you do not try to stop the deplorable garbage that you did before you were a Christian. There is something wrong with you. There is this spirit missing that should put a stop to it. If you were a gossip and you haven't stopped gossiping, there is a problem. If you're a liar and it doesn't bother your conscience, there is something wrong. If you're a thief and you're still stealing without even a thought about it, there's something wrong. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, there it tells us, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentile walks in the vanity of their minds, but having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who are being past feelings, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." So he says, he gives you a scripture here. "I testified in the Lord that you henceforth not walk as these walk." If you do, he says, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, "but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." That's not the way it works when you become a Christian. So he's going to put a question there. You have not heard Jesus talk to you if you still live for the devil. And he doesn't mince words with that. He doesn't try to figure out maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not a Christian. He says, if you live like that, then maybe you haven't heard from God. And if God speaks to you, something happens. If I speak to you, yes, then I give you the benefit of the doubt. But if God speaks to you, you become born again. You become a new creation in Christ. You become a new creature. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. But if you just had an emotional experience, yeah, I believe, and then kept on your merry way, then the truth is, you may not have heard Christ talk to you. It's just an emotional experience, and you need to get born again, because the spirit that changes you is not working in you. So we're going to see how this works in Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 5 to 7. You may have it on the King James Version. I'll read it out of the New Living Testament. It's easier to understand. "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you, for the Lord disciplines these he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father?'" Today, there's lots of fathers who don't discipline their children because they're not even there. "But if you belong to God and you expect to live a life that is not pleasing to him, the Bible teaches us that you're going to get nudges from him. You're going to get pulled here. You're going to get pulled there." I'm going to give you a little bit of something that where God showed me where I went wrong. I used to like hunting deer. In season, out of season, didn't matter. And one day God decided it's time that you follow the law of the land. And I shot this deer. And I know for a fact, no game warden ever comes that way where I was. Never, ever. And guess what? I didn't bother to notch my little ticket they gave me. And I went in and I looked at the deer. Yes, it's a good shot, very quiet a ways, a good, fantastic shot. And I got to bring a rope to pull him out. It was heavy. So I went out, got a rope, started pulling out, and guess what? I see a truck coming. And by instinct and by experience, I knew exactly who that truck was. It was a game warden. And guess what? He nailed me right there for not notching my little ticket. I should have notched it when I shot him. And later on, I said, Lord, you set that up. Because it couldn't have happened any other way. I should have been out of there an hour ago. But I took my time. I wasn't in a hurry. I just took it easy. Me and my wife are doing this. She's in on it. She's a culprit also. And the Lord spoke to me, you have to behave yourself, David, because it's the law of the land. So I went in there. And I said, I plead guilty with an explanation. The guy looks at me so kindly and said, I'm sure you're not going to do it again. And he dropped my fine from 300 to 150. Oh, I could have kissed him. I didn't know if I followed the rules to the exact way, but I sure calmed down after that. So God wants to discipline us. He shows us, guys, this world is for you. You can enjoy it, but respect the laws of the land or you will reap what you sow. And guess what? That's what's happening. We're reaping what we sow when we don't watch out. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 8 and 9, if God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you're illegitimate. Is that the right word? The King James Version makes it easy. It tells it you're a bastard. And you know what a bastard is? It's somebody born out of wedlock and are not really his children. Since we respected our early fathers, disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirit and live forever? So he says here, if God disciplines us, we should appreciate it. And you know what? When he does discipline you, you know that it's from God. I've experienced it through my life because one of the last things I was a goody two-shoes. So God had to rock me this way and rock me that way. And I always knew when I was disciplined. There's times he let me get away with stuff where I knew I shouldn't have, where I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to escape what I should have paid for this. But you did. So next time I'll try and watch. So God is lenient with us. He loves us, but if we're not going to stop what we're doing, he's going to bring the hammer down somehow or other. And we've seen it throughout our lives. We can experience, I'm sure most of us can explain some experience we had where we knew God was definitely involved. So, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, whom the Lord loveth, he corrected, even as a father the son in whom he delights. So God corrects us because he loves us and will try to keep us on the right track. So if you're out there and you're taking advantage of the grace of God, like a lot of people accuse the Christians of doing, We need to understand that God will have patience with us until we cross a certain line, or before we cross a certain line, then he will say, this is enough. We have to slow this down. We have to bring this to a stop. I want to show you something out of the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 in verse 13, remember King David, he was a man after God's own heart. But there's something I would like to let you know. I wouldn't want my son to live like King David did, even though he was after God's heart. He was searching it out. King David was the kind of guy who loved to kill people. And he loved to, if you read through his exploits, let me tell you, that guy was something else. And he loved women also, if you've noticed. One day he was looking down from his roof and he saw Bathsheba, the beautiful Bathsheba, taking a bath. And he figured, this woman I've got to have, even though I have two already, we need another one. So he calls her to the palace, and there they have intimate relationships, and she becomes pregnant. Now what? I got to kill her husband. The problem is, her husband is my best friend. His name is Uriah. So how do I kill him? If I don't get that woman, boy, I'm going to be killed. So he arranged it that Uriah got killed. For those who read the story know what I'm talking about. He got killed, and that was it. So he married this beautiful Bathsheba, and she had a baby. And in those days, King David didn't care much for his kids, when you read the story, because it just let them do whatever they want. But this one had consequences here. God sent Nathan the prophet to David and said in Samuel chapter 2 in verse 2 Samuel chapter 12. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Once he exposed him. Have you ever read the story? How Nathan exposed King David. And it didn't click till the last moment. Till it was told, you're the guy that sinned. And David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Listen to this. He has put away thy sin. Yeah, you're forgiven. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. There's difference in sin. We need to understand there's times when Satan blasphemes. We remember, the higher you go in Christianity, you are being watched by the devil. You're being watched by the world. We remember when Jimmy Swaggart was at the top of his pinnacle. He was the preacher everybody watched all over the world. One day, a woman brought him down, or the lusts of his flesh brought him down, and he lost whatever he had, self-respect, a ministry, whatever there was is gone now. He's a mere shadow of what he used to be. And that goes on with a lot of people. I want you to remember, the closer you are to God, the higher you are in his ministry, the more scrutiny you go through by God. So you be careful. You don't want to be a teacher, because God makes sure that you are kept in line by those who teach you. So here's what happened. Satan had a reason to blaspheme. And guess what? David had to pay the consequences. David's son died, or the child died, and then for the rest of his life, he had nothing but murder in his family. That's how it went. That's how it goes. So we need to understand God loves us and he appreciates us. So what happens to the Christian today if we sin? I want to share something with you when it comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's talking about taking the Lord's communion. He says, if you take the Lord's communion, and we should do it as often as we do it, we should check ourselves. Are we gossips? Do we forgive everybody? Do we have grudges in our hearts? When I take communion, I try to check myself out. Is there anybody that I'm hurting or I'm doing wrong? Is there something wrong here? Am I cheating somewhere, somebody somewhere? And I try to make it right with God. Now listen to this. If you don't, it says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many have prematurely died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. There we go. If we would look at ourselves, pay attention to our wrongdoings, correct ourselves, then God would not have to judge us. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Listen to this beauty, that we should not be condemned with the world. This is why God chastens us. This is why God punishes us. So he doesn't have to condemn us with the world. And believe me, I'd rather be chastened by God. I'd rather be punished by God than to be condemned with the world. So for those of us, for those people watching on the internet, if you're an unbeliever, regardless how bad a Christian is, he's going to be judged by God on this side of eternity. But you are going to have the rest of your eternity in the eternal lake of fire. So regardless how bad a Christian has it, you have it much worse because you're not connected to this God that loves you and died for you at the cross so long ago. I want to share something here. For those of you who are listening and are taking this lightly, there is a day coming when all will be judged. Those who are Christians and those who are not Christians. For those who are Christians, they'll be judged of what they did in the body, how we operated with this gift that has been given to us. But for those who don't know Christ, their judgment is going to be awful. It's going to be cruel, and it's going to be forever. For the rest of eternity, you will not receive another chance to come back into the kingdom of God because it'll be done with. So what do I suggest? Turn to Jesus, for he is the one that leads you to holiness. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us right with God and not the good things that we do. Like I said here, holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Hallelujah. Jesus loves us. He wants to forgive us. He paid the full penalty for all of us. And we need to turn to him and take it by faith. That's all there is to it. And then let the Lord change us in our hearts. For the Bible teaches us that he does things from the back to the beginning. So we can be sure if we have been called to this Jesus, the work that he has begun in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's how sure I am. I fight from victory and not for victory. And next time I'll do something wrong, I'll say, Lord, forgive me. Please don't punish me. just forgive me because the blood is sufficient. So this is just a warning to all of us. Be careful. Walk with respect in the God that you serve, because he loves you and he does not want the enemy to blaspheme because of what we do. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.
I've never traveled far around the world. I've never seen the many thrills and sights unfurled. But I have taken the journey of journeys for me. Up Calvary's mountain, there my Savior to see.
I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord.
I've been to Calvary through the witness of his word.
Each day at Calvary,
what a thrill of love divine, just to know that the Savior is mine. I've walked the Calvary road where Jesus trod. I saw him hanging there, the Son of God.
With tear-stained eyes I knelt and prayed, Jesus, hear my plea. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm glad I've been to Calvary. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of his word. Each day at Calvary, what a thrill of love divine, just to know that the Savior is mine. Just to think, just to feel, just to know the Savior.